This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm.
That was a UFO beaming back at you. Now, they've been coming here ever since 1946, and they have been living and working among us in vast quantities ever since. The government knows all about them. These leaders have decided to repress this information because of the tremendous shock that it would cause to our antiquated system.
I don't have to tell you things are bad. Everybody knows things are bad.
You're listening to Surreal Talk, a look inside the world of cults, conspiracies, and the paranormal. Brought to you by lineupmedia.fm.
Everybody's out of work or scared of losing their job. The dollar buys a nickel's worth. Banks are going bust. Shopkeepers keep a gun under the counter. The air is unfit to breathe and our food is unfit to eat. Punks are running wild in the street. There's nobody anywhere who seems to know what to do, and there's no end to it.
The whole truth about JFK, 9/11, Area 51, the Illuminati, the moon landings, Jesus and Magdala, the CIA, KGB, and AIDS, the reptilian elite, Watergate, the New World Order, Bilderberg, the MKUltra Project, the history of the world and the oppression of the human consciousness, and the truth about God, the devil, heaven, hell, and the delicate fabric of the universe.
You gotta say, I am as mad as hell, and I'm not gonna take this anymore!
Now your hosts, Eric and Everett.
Welcome to Surreal Talk. We are back again. This is a lineupmedia.fm production, as you all know, brought to you this week and every week by audible.com. But
we got a new URL for our Audible affiliate program since we switched over from the old show handle to the new one. You can go to audibletrial.com/surreal to get your 30-day free trial and a free audiobook download.
Nice. And as always, if you're in the need to buy anything, that you can get on Amazon, I guess.
They got almost everything on there.
Can you get a gallon of milk on there?
Yeah, they got Amazon groceries on there now.
Really? Yeah. Okay, never mind. If you need anything at all, and any purchases you make, go to our website, click the Amazon banner, and any purchases you make are going to directly support our crazy show.
I'd like to say, too, one thing you might try while you're on Amazon is get you a 30-day trial to their Prime streaming service. You can get that now.
Yes,
definitely. And we get a little kickback on that if you do it whenever you click our link, too. So just by getting the trial.
So it all just helps keep us going, keep us bringing you the conspiracy. So we're back, and it is me, Everett, as always, and
we
have
everybody.
Brian with us this week. He is the guest this week. Always been listening.
Who is
to the
Brian?
Show. Brian is a friend of mine. He's been a longtime listener.
That's a good question.
But who is Brian? Who
is Brian? That's not quite what I mean. He's a fellow tinfoil hatter.
Yeah, Brian's into all things that are conspiracy. We often engage in some very meaningful conversations that don't mean anything to anybody but us, though.
Yeah, for the most part.
So what are we
but
talking about
this week?
A lot
of fun. This week's going to be a really good, interesting episode. I was really excited and pumped for this one as I let Brian actually pick the topic. So it is going to be, what is it, Brian? What are we talking about this week?
World War III. It's a big topic, and it means a lot if it kicks off. I mean, I don't know how many of you out there were around during World War II, but it didn't just happen overnight. There's no messages on Facebook. There's no messages on TV or radio saying, hey, tomorrow we're going to war.
So what you're saying is this is not something that we're going to really know about. It's not going to be broadcast and televised. You know, you're not going to be able to check Facebook. Oh, World War III started. It's live now on Facebook. So.
Right, get the fuck in your bunker.
Hashtag get to the bunker. No, so that's a pretty good, interesting thought, though.
There might be. I mean, hell, somebody starts bombing over Washington.
If it's trending on Twitter, who knows, right?
Here in St. Louis, we're going to hear about it, I mean.
But so we got a pretty good two-part show lined out for you guys today. Has all to do with World War III. So we thought we would start this first episode off with some scenarios and more geared towards like the political aspect of it.
Sure.
So, where do we want to start? There's a lot.
There's the hot button. How much you guys know about Syria, the whole ISIS and all that, and the Syrian
Civil
War?
I mean, I know quite a bit, but I wouldn't say I'm an expert.
I've kept my eye on it. You know,
what do you know, Brian?
Muammar Gaddafi was a man to kind of
Libya, right?
Was it Libya?
Yeah, that was it. Muammar was Libya.
Yeah. Okay, never mind. My bad.
But he actually has a lot to do
with
Assad.
What's going on over there. Yeah.
Because the whole deal is they just don't want to trade their oil in the dollar. But so Russia's got an issue with us being over there and our Syrian involvement because of the missiles that we're placing, you know, right at their front door, basically.
Sure.
We've got missiles there. And we say
every time we try to put like a missile defense system up like Eastern Europe or wherever, right, they're like,
well, our excuse is hey, oh, Iran, you know, we got to combat this Iranian threat. Right. And that's really just not the case. Everyone's, you know, actually the major intelligence communities have assessed the Iranian threat and they're like, yeah, no, that's just really not there. So why are you putting your missiles here? So that's, you know, that irritates Putin and Russia.
Do you think the U.S. has any kind of actual, yeah, this is kind of for Russia too type of thought?
I mean, oh, yeah, of course. That's why they're there.
You think that's why they're there.
Yeah, of course that's why they're there. But that's what we're telling is to combat the Iranian threat. So
what Iranian threat? Those guys are, I don't want to downplay the Iranians, but they got nothing that really threatens us.
You serious?
Well, I mean, this is a point that Putin made maybe 3 weeks ago. I was watching one of his speeches he was giving at an international conference, and that's what he's saying is, hey, we Russians have been there, checked it out, nothing going on. Everybody else is there and basically saying that there is no nuclear threat, but
in Syria?
In Syria.
Sure.
We keep sending ballistic missiles over there just in case. And
so we're stockpiling. America is.
Oh, we're arming we're arming both sides, honestly, over there. I mean, ISIS. We arm ISIS as much as people want to.
It's a hell of a accusation.
That's no accusation, man.
We're dropping weapons all over this globe.
Yeah,
everywhere.
with little regard as to who gets them, and I think that's part of the.
What's our motivation for dropping these weapons?
Well, they're supposed to be for our rebel forces that we're backing. But who ends up getting him is...
So we're backing rebels to...
Rebels, yes. We backed the rebels that overthrew the Assad regime. Yeah, that's the whole Hillary Clinton gig right now. She was like part of that. She's like, yeah, we need to overthrow this regime, the Assad regime. Yeah, that was the whole deal with
I'll admit right now, I don't keep track of any of the political stuff.
Well, that was all in the emails, man.
The whole
man.
Benghazi thing. That, I mean, I'm really...
That's
I'm
totally
really
different.
I'm not up to date on any of that.
Well, right. I mean, and it's all just, it's, you know...
If you want me to tell you how you can time travel back and prevent it, I might be your guy. But.
Benghazi has a little bit to do with that. When we've got weapons over there that we don't know where they're going. You know, it falls back to we are doing this. We are having a CIA base there to protect us. Not really that we're worried about. We know that they're going to use those against us. But just for the sheer thought of they could. So we're
There's a 1 in 1,000 chance and we've got the money to put it there, why not?
Well, right, because it pisses people off.
Yeah,
no, that's fair enough. But
you know what I mean?
Time,
that's not good international relations.
Man, maybe it's the arrogant American enemy goes, well.
Right, well, think about how America would feel if Russia was to just drop, you know, nuclear capabilities at our doorstep right on the Mexican border.
Well, that's
we
what
would
the whole
not
Cuban...
like that, and that's exactly what we're doing to them. You know what I mean? And I'm not taking sides here, but I'm just
like
saying.
That.
That's
you know,
what
the American people
about
would be a little
Cuban
frustrated here, right?
Crisis.
That's true. That's a good point.
That's exactly right. It's a Cuban missile crisis to just... Over there, it's not fucking Cuba.
The only difference is we're not in a Cold War with Russia right now.
I mean, debatable.
Debatable.
because as much as they do
Putin hate each other.
Yeah, they hate each other, and that's known.
Which is weird because Putin was supposedly pretty decent friends with George W. Bush, and Gorbachev was good friends with Gorbachev.
From what I understand, Obama's arrogant, man, and a lot of people like that. They don't like how hell the Queen just totally wouldn't shake his hand. I mean.
That was bullshit. You know,
I brought that up on purpose because
let's get this clear from the jump. Because I've watched a lot of political Russian stuff, Russian RT.
Right.
If you're not familiar with it, I watch RT. I check out YouTube videos from people over there. It's not Putin's against us. You know, he just doesn't like our government in the way that. Their running system,
right? Because when you
the way it is now,
when you listen
currently.
To Vladimir Putin talk, he is sincere. The guy he's got a level head on his shoulders, and he is, like I said, I'm not going anywhere with this, but he is a good leader. he cares about the people of his country, and you can tell that when he speaks, he's genuine and sincere. You don't really sense.
He speaks with conviction.
I read those captions, and it's just so captivating.
And you can't hate the guy for loving his country.
No, I mean, but he does though. When you listen to what he says, now, like I said, I don't speak Russian, so I'm just basing it on a translation.
Sure.
What he talks from the heart, and he's a really good leader. He cares about his people. He cares about his country.
Well, when you ask people here, do you think Obama cares personally about you?
I don't know.
Right. I'm going to say no. Right.
I'm going to say he doesn't.
Well, it's not get political, and this is a weird question to be asking. Does Obama care? That's like that time Kanye was like on that, I forget what charitable thing they were doing. He was with Mike Myers, and they're going through this spiel. It was Katrina. And then out of nowhere, Kanye
George
like,
Bush hates black people.
Yeah.
You guys are throwing I remember Obama cares about you?
But the point is Putin cares about his people.
Objection, speculation.
Well, no, look.
That's like saying we know that Obama doesn't like
Here you go. Here's where we're at with this. This is a World War III episode. So we're talking about Russia. America needs the strongest relations with Russia possible because they're like they're one of the only ones that can rival us. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So why, as a leader of, with maybe the most important position in the world, the president of the United States, why as that sort of leader, would you not try everything you could do to come to be best friends with this guy? I don't care. Take him out golfing, go bowling. I don't give a shit. You need to be buddies with this dude, man. You guys need to come together because if you two come together, there ain't nothing that could stop you.
So speculate again, why isn't Obama...
I don't know why. You're right. I would love to speculate on that, but I just don't have a reason
you, Brian,
for it.
Almost to keep up with an image.
You think
I would
so?
Say. That, you I know, mean,
that's fair.
You know, they make it seem, our media makes it seem like Putin, all he wants to do is bring back the USSR.
Yeah, oh, they paint a terrible picture of him. As they do Obama, which I'm not going to say that either way. They paint a terrible picture of Obama.
I paint anything that sells commercial time.
Fair enough. Yeah,
right.
Audible.com. Amazon. Go buy it on Amazon. Sorry, shameless plugs.
But Prime is good. Prime Video. I'm a user. It's great.
Oh yes,
we're fucking chills. Man.
But okay, so let's talk about some other, some different conflicts that are going on that might cause World War III. I know that you had mentioned the Arctic Circle conflict, Brian. Now, can you explain to us a little bit about what's going on with that?
I found this one interesting. It's like, go ahead. Sorry.
All right. My theory on it's at the top of the world, the Arctic Circle. It used to be a big glacier. It covered a lot of what has melted away now is left open sea water.
So there's more roots.
There's areas.
Well, Norway has found out. They found out in 2010 that they could take their cargo ships to China without having to go down and around and all that. So when they did that, they sent a couple of ships through there, and apparently Vladimir Putin got word of it, sent a submarine to the seafloor.
That doesn't sound very friendly.
Sent a submarine to the seafloor. Planted a Russian flag, and now that was the little map I was showing you.
You put a map on the ocean floor, and that means it's yours?
No, I put a flag.
He put a flag.
That's what I meant, a flag.
Pretty much. And yeah, that's what he says.
Why not put it on a buoy and chain it to the bottom?
That's what people say. They're
so
like,
people could see it.
Oh, so you do this, so now you claim half the Arctic Circle, it's yours? And he said his answer, verbatim, is
yes, comrade.
Yes.
Yes, yeah.
I didn't see your country flags down there.
Where's your flag? We put our flag down there like 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
So the problem with this is Norway says, we discovered this route, we're going to use it.
Sure.
Russia says, no, you're not. They've been practicing war games since.
Oh, man, yeah. These conflicts are building.
Who's been practicing? Norway and Russia?
NATO.
Probably? Oh, NATO.
Okay. All
so,
of NATO
so basically,
so Russia's not a member of NATO, right?
They're
No.
No, not at all. There's 16,000 soldiers in Norway practicing war games, quote unquote, from 16 different countries. And as of, let's see here, that's 6/06 of 2014. So that'd be
a little over 2 years.
Yeah. We've sent a battalion of U.S. Marines up there within the last 12 months to go practice. And though we've got, 16,000 people?
Yeah.
Whenever you go to the Norway-Russia border, Putin has got a nickel ore factory there, which is known for making armor for tanks.
Right.
Sure. And nickel's a good metal for a lot of things.
Right. He's
making nickels even.
Pumping it there. Now we've got 16,000
Not just a clever name, then.
He's over there practicing with 20,000 troops, his own war games.
Oh, yeah, he's got to outdo it. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So essentially what this Arctic Circle is a dispute between territories that was previously not there and
not
that's
available.
There now, not available. Okay, so
really
it's available now due to, unclaimed, but still there, but it's available now due to Arctic ice melting. So there's now different trade routes that are going
right.
on. And
I wonder why.
And people are disputing this area, saying that this is mine and this is all on the top of the globe.
I'm
just getting
the Arctic
straight.
Circle isn't similar to the Antarctica where there's no country that can
That's
it.
The way it was. That's pretty much the way it was. And
the Antarctic Treaty in 1948.
We've all had equal parts in it, basically. I think it's five countries that connect to it.
Sure.
So we've all had equal parts to it. Russia's basically saying, hey, since I planted my flag down there, I got half of it, which is a big problem. Norway says, hey, we found this route. We're using it. And if you obstruct in that, we'll enact Article 5.
What's Article 5?
Well, in Article 5 under the Washington Treaty,
is
basically you fuck with one of us, you fuck with us all.
Oh, so it's like.
Really?
Yes. It's the NATO clause, basically.
Yeah,
yes.
Okay. So it's,
yes.
Yeah.
It's Article 5. Check it out. It's.
I believe we're telling you guys to do some research on that at your own leisure, but Article 5.
We're not going to do it for you.
Not 4 or 6.
Yeah, check it out. Article 5.
You know there's 28 members to NATO? It's a lot of countries. I didn't know that. But they're mostly
16
European.
Of them are practicing war games in Norway right now.
Okay, so what about the North Korea, South Korea? That's something that could definitely bring us into...
I mean, there's already been Korean War. Which
right, well, that's something that could bring us into World War III, not because of North and South Korea themselves, but because of their allies. You know what I mean?
Well,
North Korea has China backing them. South Korea, obviously, has us backing them. So, I mean...
Look, a few years ago, when Dennis Rodman went over there with the Harlem Globetrotters...
Right, I remember this.
They were celebrating their third nuclear test, you know?
Uh-huh.
You know, it's kind of like he's the crazy little brother of China.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
You know?
Definitely
he's down there.
Else.
Oh,
we
God
don't
damn
believe
it. It's Kim Jong again. God damn it!
Almost kind of like
a little off topic, but did you know he says he's never shit before?
That's what they say.
Did you know he said he has 11 holes in one on one 18-hole golf course?
He shot a 37 one.
Yeah,
time.
He shot a 37. There it is. Right. So he had like what was it? 11 holes in one or something, yeah, something. On an 18-hole golf course.
Yeah, it's
he is superhuman.
It's a sad place over there. I mean, all seriousness,
the oppression of people is ridiculous.
The Seth Rogen movie. What was it? The interview.
Yeah.
Okay, it was a decent movie, but he was really right on point of the trip that Dennis Rodman and the Harlem Globetrotters took to North Korea. When they went there, they had buildings set up like office buildings and people in there dressed up to work at computers with screens pulled up on their screens that didn't even know how to use a computer.
So no, it's all about image. I've seen a lot of photo dumps where it's just like it's pictures that he once put out of this is how he wants his country portrayed. And if you're a photographer and you go into North Korea, they check your pictures, your cameras, your storage devices before you leave, and they will delete any pictures that they do not want leaving their country if it doesn't portray North Korea in a positive light.
See, I tried to get some sort of satellite uplink in there and send pictures.
I mean,
you can
literally tell, like when you look at pictures of Kim Jong-un doing normal shit, like he's in a factory. And there's workers all around. You can see he's got a smile on his face and everything.
No propaganda.
Yeah, propaganda.
But you look at the workers. This is what tells the story. You look at those workers, and they're like,
right. Because
if they say the wrong thing, he's going to take them out and have them shot.
I wonder how much of that's true, though. I've read on Reddit people who've been in North Korea and who live in North Korea. A lot of them really do think this guy's the shit.
Really?
Well, they've been brainwashed.
Well, yeah. I mean, propaganda will do that to you.
You
so.
Know,
I mean, what that one kid just spent, well, he just got sentenced to like 15 years hard labor for taking one government picture. Sign, I think it was like one picture off of a wall. Then
shouldn't break the fucking law, man.
Right, where, yeah, don't go to North Korea and take something off
it's
the street.
It's like that kid who spray painted those cars in Singapore.
Singapore, then caned his ass. That's right, I remember that.
Don't go to another country and break a law, even if you think it's stupid.
So, basically, if we fuck with North Korea, let's just say it. If we fuck with North Korea, China's coming after us.
Maybe even Russia.
They told us North Korea's off, and that's the only reason we've let this weird haircut little dude continue his...
Another thing, did you know you are allowed to get one of 12 government-approved haircuts in North Korea? That is it. You are allowed to get one of 12. Well, I'm fine with that. Let me see your hair. Not approved. You're done. Oh, you got to break rocks for 10 years.
That's fine.
It's over. 10 years rock breaking.
I didn't know.
No, also, it doesn't matter.
What we want to get into is that the scenarios that we're laying out here with North Korea, the Arctic Circle, and different ones that we're going to go about are, you know, kickoffs to World War III.
Yeah, these are. That's,
it's not
that's
going to happen during World War III.
These are all situations and scenarios
that could eventually be the beginning of World War III. So
here's another interesting one. I'm moving right along from the North Korea, South Korea, because everybody knows that's a volatile situation over there. The one that I really hate this one, the Israel-Palestine situation. And you know, I picked a side on this, and a lot of people don't like that. A lot of people are on the other side. I'm on Palestine. I'm for Team Palestine, baby.
Really?
Yes, I am.
Because, why do you care?
Why do I care? I care because
they're human.
The Israeli people claim that land because God gave it to them.
Yeah, they've claimed it for 2,000 years. I mean,
so all the Palestinians are is basically like southern. Okay, so it's,
and if they've held it for 2,000 years, which they pretty much have, why isn't it theirs?
If they've held it for 2,000 years, why are there Palestinians at all?
There's Palestinians where there've always been Palestinians
in Palestine. It's right not Israel. It's not Israel. Well, no, but they're claiming Palestine as Israel.
But what I'm saying is it's been disputed for this long. Get the fuck over it. It's not that much land. They've lived, these people have lived there.
So what do you say? Everyone that's in Palestine should just move away? And you're done? Give that land to Israel? They win?
No.
No.
The fucking Israel border, let that be Israel the way it is.
But that's not what Israel's doing. Israel is actively invading Palestine. That is their land.
They're pushing their borders out.
Yeah, that's their holy land. I agree. That's what I'm saying. I mean, there's total oppression of the Palestinian people.
But we do understand here that the reason that if you don't understand.
Google deleted Palestine off of Google Maps. Okay, look on there. There is no more Palestine.
Israel is an issue for World War III is because one of the kickers is in the Bible. It quotes Armageddon.
Yeah,
being the time when the Jewish people no longer hold Israel. So that's the reason why
there is a lot of biblical, and that's a lot of people. You know, I got people at work that say this to me.
And
all
they'll
time.
Go to war over that book. Believe you know, me.
Oh, they totally will. That's the bad part about it.
They will go to war over it.
You know, why don't they go to war over like important shit? Like we don't have enough food, and you're making it so we don't get it.
Right.
Or yeah, water. We don't have water during their holy Ramadan. Didn't they cut their water?
One point people always bring to my attention is. Israel's so small, and they've been defending themselves for the last 2,000 years, just like you ever said. How come no one's been able to take them over? That's because they're God's chosen people, and that land really does belong to them.
That's the stupidest argument.
Exactly. I'm not with that argument, but that's what I'm saying.
There
that's
are
the stupidest
arguments
argument.
That are making that.
Yeah, there are people that make that argument.
But their culture
that's the
is
argument.
That
That's the argument for their oppression of the Palestinian people is that that land is theirs, and they're the chosen ones. That's the chosen land. They have all rights
to that
land.
Well, what do you think the Palestinians would have done to the Israelis, too, though? I'm sure both of these sides are both cocksuckers.
No.
Yeah.
You don't think so?
I don't know. No.
Well, I mean,
I say you guys have been fighting that for so fucking long.
It's not any of America's issue.
Fair enough. Give it a rest. But Israel will not do that.
Yeah.
Palestine's content with giving it a rest. What do you think? I mean, I think Palestine's content with giving it a rest. Of course, I'm not their, you know, negotiator or whatever. But from what I understand, I think they're pretty content.
And he's not their negotiator.
And you do know who their negotiator has been, right?
I do not.
Miss Clinton.
Oh, Secretary Clinton.
Had a big part in the ceasefire there.
Another thing, and I don't want anyone to mistake this as a hatred for Israel, but why in the fuck are we giving a country the size of Rhode Island the biggest military aid package in their history and our history of $3.3 billion next year?
You're real taking sides here for what we're doing.
you're right. Okay. But still, I mean, seriously, that could be a big kickoff for World War III.
You're stopping just short here of fucking endorsing your candidate for president.
No. What I'm doing is I'm showing American the love that American gives to Israel and that the links that we'll go to back them.
Yeah.
And you almost sound anti-American.
Yeah, he does have
No. The links that America are the links.
You don't like it, leave.
You don't like our country, get the hell out, all right?
We just intelligent.
God damn it, we can shoot our shotguns around here. Some bitch, boy.
What do you guys know about India and Pakistan? That's an old hatred, too.
India, you know, I don't know a whole lot about an India-Pakistan conflict.
I don't know what the political ramifications
is. Why don't you
fuck
me up with some truth here?
Well, I do know that in the 90s, they both pretty much got their nuclear abilities. They now have nuclear weapons in the 90s. They were both doing underground tests, and they were both really nervous because, you know, they don't have the greatest political relations, and they're right next to each other with nukes.
To me, what that was us saying, hey, you're too small to do anything to fuck with us anyway, so just do what you do.
Too small? India is like a billion people even back
then.
They're not advanced, though.
They're,
I mean,
sure. You know, their military was.
That's fair.
We wasn't worried.
They have the beds of pickup trucks for trailers. I was just saying, you know what I mean. They don't even have regular trailers. They just cut the backs of pickup beds off.
We told
them,
"Hey, do what you guys do." We weren't worried about it. Now we're a little worried about it.
I'm almost guaranteeing you, you're wrong about they don't have regular trailers in India.
No, but like, have you ever seen those truck bed trailers?
Yeah, I've seen
those. I wish I had one of those. Those are really cool. Maybe I'm a little jealous. Okay, so India and Pakistan, I don't know about that one.
Yeah, well, neither.
What about these islands that China is building?
Dude, that's crazy.
Yes, they are building islands on reef.
Yeah, it's nuts. They're like, eh, we're going to expand out into, you know, the Chinese Sea and out, you know, further in the Indian Ocean.
Smart move, really.
Let's just build some islands.
Well, it's not unprecedented. Land reclamation. And it's not only bad for the fact that you can't take sand from the bottom of the ocean and add it out to the middle of the ocean and then call it the country of China or the country of...
Why can't you?
I think that's exactly what they're doing.
Well, you can't do that.
Why can't you?
Because eventually there's not going to be enough room for you to build any more islands and you're going to touch another country.
That's what the fuck's wrong with this world. If you own the ocean, think about what you just said. No one owns the ocean,
yeah,
man.
Why no. Why
because why you can't own the
for
ocean.
The same reason we don't.
You can't own the ocean.
If you, nobody owns, if you can hold it. If you can hold that space out in the middle of the ocean and say it's
yours. And by hold, you mean what?
Then why not Antarctica?
Fend off attackers?
Put a navy there. Then it becomes your ocean.
But yeah, but nobody can own Antarctica.
We invade Antarctica, and now it's United States.
There's no treaty for the middle of the oceans. There's international waters.
Damn it, there should be.
Well, and that's the problem. that right there is the problem.
I mean, it could be. But all I'm saying is if you can take and hold it, then why the fuck ain't it yours?
Well, and...
Because it's a slippery slope.
They're building it on coral reefs.
It's a slippery
and
slope.
And it takes a long time. We See, need these as humans.
What's the stop for me from putting a bunch of floating buoys out in the middle and building an airstrip out there and
what's
just saying it's mine?
Need? Why not?
You know what I'm saying?
Well,
say me, America. But
I'll
what's to stop
you.
Us from that?
Why
that,
not?
I'll tell you. Because it would be the person that you would be offending that sees the bigger picture. Nope. We don't care about them building military bases.
Let me ask you this. Say we found an archipelago or whatever, a whole bunch of islands out there that we had missed, and we decide we're taking these.
Okay.
Is that fine?
No.
If we go there, we plant a flag, and nobody comes to contend, that is now the United States.
So what's the difference
between
you found these islands that nobody knew about, okay, or building these islands?
Because you're building them on coral reefs.
Well, see, I don't see... In the longest short of it, coral reefs has dick to do with military.
But not. I mean, it's not.
You're making military.
Animals.
You're
we
making military installations out
well,
at sea where there previously were. You're expanding your territory. What you're doing is effectively reducing the range of your missiles required to strike other countries. See, if they go 1,000 miles
That's
out to
true.
Sea, they are 1,000 miles closer to America. So that way, their ballistic missiles don't have to travel 3,000 miles. They don't have to travel 2,000.
That's not
miles.
The argument. The argument is. Why can't they just put an island there? If nobody
they
had
did.
An island, then why can't they? I don't see why. What's the big fucking deal?
Well, and that's the whole deal. America is disputing the
now
fact
the
that they should
do
that.
Now, the intent of what they do with the island is something.
That's what America is disputing is the intent of the island because it's a military installation.
If they didn't have a military intent, say they had a complete
if they had a
tourist
school ground.
Intent.
A tourist attraction?
You
we
cannot,
would have no problem.
You cannot
with
build a tourist attraction on coral
so
reefs.
Want you guys
do you
to take,
understand the problems in
I
humanity?
I understand. That's not a political. That's an ecological.
That's environmental and right. ecological. Okay, but I get what you're saying, though. It shouldn't be allowed.
It shouldn't be allowed. No. I agree. But that's not even the scope of the conversation.
Okay.
The point is, if you allow it for tourist reasons, then you have no problem with the building an island. You have a problem with their intent. So you can't make
exactly.
any argument about where the island comes from, what it's built on.
The thing that you're not getting is I'm not making the argument. America is.
Well.
We are making the argument for this.
The American government
the
is?
The American government okay. is. Okay, here's, now, and with good reason, though, because if you have seen the new map, has anyone ever out here, any of our listeners seen the official Chinese map that they've released now where they cover, why don't you pull that up for us and we'll check that out.
New official Chinese
They claim
map.
Hawaii. Hawaii is claimed under their territory. In
really?
This. Yeah. I, yeah. A new official Chinese map claims Hawaii. Google it. Boom, huh. boom, boom.
China I'd like to go to China and buy this map, bring it back here to the United States.
And this is interesting. I mean,
surprised you guys are going to hate me. Surprised Trump ain't said something about this yet.
We're going to build a wall around
across
Hawaii,
the ocean. Down
across the ocean.
Hey, they can buy it. They can buy it back.
And we're going to make the seamen pay for it. We're going to make the
apparently.
Yeah, apparently, right?
You know, I was
251 dash map. Look for that on Google. 251 dash dash map. So it's 251 the hyphen, then the word dash. space map.
Yeah, but it is an official Chinese map.
Apparently, they claim Hawaii, most of Micronesia.
Micronesia, too. Yes, that's what I'm saying. So, I mean, you know, I get America's disputing this, but, I mean, they're coming at us as well. You know, so there's a real hotbed for activity between America and China right now. You know, I mean, that's a definite good jump off for World War III. Good, I should say good. That is a...
I came across a quote from the China Times that, and this is quoted... We will be very prudent about going to war, but if it is, but if a war is triggered, we will have a greater determination than the U.S. to fight it to the end, and we will endure more losses, or we can endure more losses than the U.S.
See, that sounds like Ho Chi Minh from Vietnam. He said, "Even if you still kill 10 of our people for every one we kill of you, we will still beat you."
Oh, and that's their thought. I mean,
that's fucked up way to think.
That's dangerous thinking. There,
it's the whole. Dive bomb you. Yeah, I might kill myself, kamikaze. But I'm going. Yeah, I'm
it's,
going.
It's devaluing your citizens completely into just pawns.
They don't care about
bombs,
that.
No, that's a
bombs.
I feel like a number. But, that's exactly what they are to them. To those types of dictators, your assets are expendable. Your civilians are expendable. Your military assets are expendable. To those sort of dictators, you are a number.
Right.
Now, to someone as what Brian was saying earlier about how he believes that Putin operates and how he loves his country. See, he doesn't. What Turkey shot that one plane out of the air, and then they hunted down the pilot and killed him, and that was like that pissed him off. You know what I mean? He was mad. That's one pilot and one
plane. Hunted down the pilot.
Yeah. So he ejected. They shot the plane. The pilot ejected out of it, and it's over Turkish airspace.
I don't know a lot about Turkey.
This was a disputed thing because Russia was saying it wasn't over Turkish airspace, and Turkey was saying it was over Turkish airspace. So that's why they had the right to shoot this plane down, and the pilot ejected out of the plane, which is a fighter.
See, I would love to know
about
the situation. Do they, you know, radio, "Hey, motherfucker, what you doing in our airspace?" And he's like, "Oh, eat shit, Turkey. I'm Russian."
Check it out, RT. I'm just gonna plug them real quick. Russian television. Vision. Watch it, check it out. It's interesting.
It's definitely a different view from the mainstream media that we get. If you can handle watching captions on your stuff, which I totally can.
Yeah, I can read.
It's something
totally
to watch.
Literate.
I mean, and that's all this is about, man. Really getting different aspects of it, because you don't want to just rely on the facts that you get here in America on stuff. Try to go different avenues, you know, because...
See, it might be too late for me. I'm mostly indoctrinated.
Well, right, but there's so many
since
different...
Since we've done this show, though, I tell you what, I'm sorry I had to keep interrupting.
Go ahead.
Since we started doing the show, I've kind of opened up my thoughts. I mean, if you listen back to the older shows, I'm really closed off.
Oh, he's closed-minded individual.
I still am, but now I can't help it. And sometimes I look when this happens, I think about you, and I'm like, you son of a bitch. I'll be like, oh, I bet this was something clear. Hillary had something to do with this. He's a false flag. Something, you know, I'm like, God damn it. Why is that now the first thing
I
think?
Hey, man, I've got you thinking, man.
You do. You've
that's
got
all
my
I
mind
wanted,
open.
That's all I wanted to do.
That's the point of it all.
Mission accomplished on that.
Right. So, well, you know, so
I was like your first listener when your podcast was just you calling me, hey, man, watch this video. Yeah,
that was my first podcast. I'm like, hey, man, check this out. Listen
for, like,
to this
3 years,
shit.
I was his only listener. It was fucking horrible.
Everett was my only listener. That's why I love doing this, though. You know, this is a fun podcast.
That's why I like doing it too. So I'm no longer the only person that's being fucking nailed with your weird shit.
So what do you guys want to touch on next? We touched on a lot of the different political and scenarios of it.
How about some of the missing nuclear material?
Oh gosh, some of the missing.
I mean, that could cause fucking firestorms, literally.
Yeah. Oh, now watch, my computer's not gonna. That's great. I did have a great page pulled up with all the different missing.
Off the top of my head, I do.
Go ahead, man. I gotta pull this up anyway.
I do know that between the United States and Russia, we hold 90% of the nuclear.
Yes, sir.
Warheads.
I can give you numbers on that.
True?
Actually, I have a nice little.
Well, while I'm pulling mine up, why don't you give us some numbers on
who holds the other 10%?
What the nuclear warhead inventories are.
So there's
the
approximately roughly 15,500 nuclear warheads worldwide. The United States.
Does that range from different megaton, kiloton ranges?
It's just warheads.
Warheads, okay.
So it could be like a giant 50 kiloton or a giant 50 megaton and a little bitty 1 kiloton or something. I don't know. Like,
so just 15,000 warheads total.
15,500 nuclear warheads. So Russia has the most at 7,300. United States trailing behind barely at 7,100, which in my opinion, 200 doesn't make a fucking difference when you're shooting off that many nukes.
No, not at all.
So it looks like the number three would be France with 300.
Well, that's an oddball. I didn't see that. Number
we've
three
got
in nuclear
like
20, power, France?
We've got 25 times the amount of the warheads that the next people have.
Nice.
Really?
Nice.
Something like 25 times. Well over 20 times.
China's close. They have 260 warheads.
Yep. China, which is kind of crazy. UK has 215. India with, or Pakistan with 120. India with 110. Your buddies Russia with, or Israel with 80.
What do you mean, my buddies?
I meant your buddies Israel.
Oh, Israel.
Yeah, I know how you love Israel. And yeah. North Korea with 8. Zionists.
North Korea has 8, 3 of which are functional, 1 which may work. So that's the whole deal with that.
I mean,
no, that's just speculation. But from what I understand, they're having a lot of troubles, aren't they?
These are rumors from the U.S. Department of State. So
aren't they having a lot of trouble getting their missiles to their warheads to operate and fire?
Warheads and missiles are
okay. So they're ballistic missiles,
and that information is questionable. I say any information we get from our government letting us know exact numbers or anything like that, you can always figure is questionable.
Well, whenever they talk about, like, you
know, I agree with that.
The yields for, like, their underground test, whether or not, you know, they had, like, a 4-kiloton test, like, a year ago or something like that, they get the seismic people to, you know, get their seismographs out, and they can pretty much tell you exactly how powerful a nuclear blast was based on the earthquakes that ring out through the entire world.
Based on the seismographs.
So you could pretty much believe that. If the government's giving you some horseshit.
But if they're saying that they've got 7,100 as of this point.
Yeah, you can bet
they I'm thinking they probably got more.
Right. That sounds almost like a ploy.
Yeah, but
that's like a chess game. Oh, Russia has 7,300. We'll tell them we have 7,100.
We
really have 9,100.
I'll put this out there. Not us nor the United States knows exactly anything about China. They're the most secretive country on this.
Oh, that's fair.
On this planet.
Well, let me ask you this though: if we're claiming to having 7,100, I ask you this: why bother holding out if there's another 1,000 of them? Why not just say we got 8,100?
Well, that comes up to our
because
loss.
you want to give Russia a false sense of security that they have the advantage over us. By having more nuclear warheads. You want to give them a false sense. It's like maybe they'll jump off quicker if they think they're bad or
ass. Here I come to be the asshole.
Or speculation, you know.
Well, our listeners are going to hate me for this, but that just sounds like paranoia.
Okay, yeah, but you're not really paranoid if they're actually out to get you.
I mean, that's fair. If they are actually out to get you. We'll never know.
Intent is unknown.
That's the thing. They'll never tell us.
Okay, so I've got that brought up now. My computer finally started working.
Okay, cool.
I got the mouse back on the wheel, and it's cranking again. So here's an interesting fact. In South Africa, more than 200 radioactive sources were missing in 2010 alone.
What do you mean by radioactive sources? Actually,
that's
like
just what it says. Yeah, I would say uranium, whether it be
material.
Enriched or regular. Yeah, just 200 radioactive sources missing since 2000.
Of undetermined size and whatnot.
Yeah, I mean, and this page that I'm looking at right now, and it's going by year, and there's just so many different. Okay, here you go. Nambia in 2011, 700 pounds of uranium ore stolen from the mine right out from underneath them.
What's 700 pounds of ore refined down to? Any idea?
I have no idea what that refines down to, honestly.
It can be a lot. And you got to have special shit to refine it. You got to have cyclotrons or the gaseous diffusion method.
Cesium, what is that?
Cesium,
there he is. Right. And it's okay here. Romania in 2011, 162 pounds of natural uranium stolen from a storage depot.
Yeah.
I mean, the amount of missing nuclear material out there is stellar.
You don't even have to have refined uranium or plutonium or whatever. To create a bomb, you can use a dirty bomb and just spread that material.
Yeah, just spread the fallout. Right, I mean, that's almost
as bad.
2010 in Georgia, and not here in the United States, but for Georgia.
Most people know where Georgia is when you talk about it in a political.
Well, hey, man, you know our people from Atlanta, they might be thinking, shout out to us. He's talking about Georgia. Enriched uranium stolen from the Tsukumi Physical Technical University.
I'm betting you killed
Georgia.
The pronunciation on there.
Right? I'm guaranteeing it. Yeah, that's all right though. Ukraine in 2010, radioactive scrap metal detected at the metallurgic plant in Donetsk, and that has no that has no bearing on like making a bomb, but that's like that's very harmful to humans.
And I'll just throw this out there: Ukraine is in a civil war, so they have missing nuclear weapons, and they're in a civil war. Those two pieces
together.
I
wonder how much of that shit goes to like warlords, like regional warlords in Africa, who like to be able to sit on saying, I've got enough here for a nuclear dirty bomb or whatever.
Right.
You don't think.
You know, not that they plan on using it, but now that.
But
this
they
is,
could.
It,
you don't
well,
think
it makes them look that much more tough.
Gaddafi got raided out. Hussein's palace got raided. All these. I mean, we know that we got their javelins and
Iraq,
their guns.
Iraq.
But where's the good stuff? Who ended up taking that?
I see you got
We're tracking
the
sparklers. Guns. Of course, they went to Benghazi and different places. Where's the good stuff? Where's the uranium and
where's
plutonium?
The whistling kitty chasers?
Yeah,
and the,
exactly.
And
all
the,
that stuff.
The Husker do's and Husker don'ts.
Thank you, Joe Dirt.
But I think what we're trying to get at with this is that there's so much missing nuclear material that could be used to make bombs out there that it's nothing's safe, even though we've got an official list right here of over 15,000 nuclear warheads and who has them and what country has how many.
Let me hit
that
you
has
some,
nothing
some
to
different
do
truth
with
the, here.
Okay, well, yeah.
Relating to that, so United Nations. I don't know if you guys have ever heard of
I've never heard of
it's
them.
It's this whole government organization or world government organization. Yeah, that's got everybody who's a member.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a UN Security Council.
That's
which
Barack's
is
next job. Sorry,
is it?
Yeah, he's going for head of UN.
So there's a UN Security Council. Basically, it's like they basically provide all the rules for everything. So they got five permanent sitting members, which are China, Russia, France, UK, and US.
Okay.
Which are the five people who have the largest armies with the most nukes?
Superpowers.
Yeah, your superpowers. It's kind of weird that you know your main members of your Security Council are also well. We got the bombs.
So. Yeah. And it's funny that the main members of the Security Council aren't even allied together at all. They make the decisions on the nuclear.
Well, France, UK, and US are kind of allied together.
Right. China and Russia are allied together. But what I'm saying is the whole council is compromised sure. of somewhat, not enemies per se, but
that's
not
good,
allies.
That's good, in my opinion.
It is because it keeps everything fair.
Right. So there's 10 members of the Security Council that are not permanent. So those include Angola, Egypt, Japan, Malaysia, New Zealand, Senegal, Spain, Ukraine, Uruguay, and Venezuela. So it's kind of interesting that Russia actually invaded one of the Security Council members, one of the non-permanent members. It invaded the Ukraine.
Yeah,
That's up for speculation.
Whether or not they invaded.
Well, you know, from what I've watched on it, you know, you've got your government of Ukraine, okay,
mm-hmm.
and which is the government there that's now in position is friends with NATO, allied NATO. The civilians on the other side of the Civil War say, you know, we need to give this NATO a second thought. We need to look at what Russia's doing. Maybe they're heading in the right directions. Maybe we need to be more friendly with them. So that has caused a civil war there. Well, if you don't understand, when civil war happens, their government has shut down food supply trucks to that side of the Ukraine.
Sure.
They've shut down water supplies, electric, everything. They say, okay, and their official stance is if they want to be friends with Russia and they don't want to do what we're doing, good. They don't need our food. They don't need our water. Now, what you got over there is you've got Russian citizens that are saying, hey, man, these people were speaking Russian. You know, they're not really against us. And they're feeling bad for them, so they're going over there and helping. Now, when you have a Russian citizen that is not in the military, not police, going to another country to help fight, is that really Russia invading?
So it's semantics at this point, basically.
Yeah.
Yes, if it's Russian nationals going in to invade another country, yes, the Russian government has a responsibility to police its own citizens.
Now, are the Russian citizens going there and fighting their government? Or, I mean, there's Ukrainians fighting
the government. So you tell me, I don't understand either side of that.
Well, like, I mean, there's Ukrainians fighting their own government.
I mean, they both got their
reasons. One side says we love our government that we have now. One side says, hey, we need to rethink things in the way that we're going with NATO.
So you've got a group of rebels.
A group of rebels.
Right. I mean, and that sounds, eerily similar
like,
to every situation.
You know, I was going to say Star Wars.
It's like if we go into a civil war in this country and some people from Canada decided to help the rebels in Minnesota. Coming out and saying, hey, Canada's invading the U.S.
I mean, they wouldn't be wrong.
Well, I mean, an invasion from what you may look at it and from what I look at it is
point
two
of view.
Different. Yeah, it's a perspective.
Perspective, yeah.
You know, if I were to go help somebody in Missouri with a problem that they've got, we're right outside of Illinois. If I were to go right across the bridge and help somebody, I'm not invading Missouri on Illinois' behalf. Just because I'm just a human being wanting to help out human
beings.
Well,
we have freedom of movement.
Lines on a map, man.
We have freedom of
movement.
They're
just lines on a map.
They're just lines on a map, and those are people that are in need.
It's not just lines on a map.
These
lines make a fucking difference.
lines are actually a border.
You can't cross these lines that are imaginary, so you say with certain items or freely in certain cases. They're not fake. They are totally what the laws of the entire world are written around.
I mean,
you cross that wrong line with the wrong thing with a gun.
But they do change.
You could start a war or international incident.
Or get yourself killed.
But they do change.
Well, they
they're not permanent.
Oh, yeah, the lines definitely float.
They change.
All right, so what about different scenarios for a World War III? Because we've really beat the shit out of that political.
I mean, that's basically it. I mean, there's right, now the
we've
other
got
ones of
Alien Disclosure. What if Alien Disclosure was to come on? Everybody started losing their shit.
Oh, man. Dude,
at that point, you're saying global fear at this point.
Global fear.
And then I guess
global knowledge of the truth.
Right,
right.
So I'm trying to.
If they came out and said there are aliens that we address, there's aliens that colonize and watch over the U.S. and have helped us out with technology. All the crackpot theories are true.
Yeah.
What do you say we would do? We would flip on our government. What's the need for them?
I mean, at that point, I would think a lot. I mean, yeah, we got problems with you, but now we got aliens to deal with. I don't think we want
to
piss off
But we don't need
government
to listen to you. We don't have to take your direction.
What president was it
especially
that said,
in a communist country. Those people would be like, screw you.
I guess I'm still such a shill because I believe in a government that is by the people, for the people, and of the people. And
yeah, I believe in that too, but that's not the way. That's not the fucking case.
Not the world we're living in.
No, that's not the fucking case. You know, we're a republic. We're not even supposed to be a democracy. We're a republic.
You tell me the difference.
Does it matter?
Yeah, if you're
do you need to know it for me?
No, yes, I do.
If you have a computer in front of you.
No. So, I need, hold on. If you're going to sit here and tell
and
me
to
you're
the
not
republic
a
for which it stands, one nation.
You tell me the difference if it matters so much to you.
It doesn't matter
to bring it up right now.
I don't know the difference.
Since you're fucking full of shit then.
But what does it matter? We're supposed to be a republic, not a democracy.
Because the Pledge of Allegiance says so?
No, because that's what the Constitution says.
Where does it say that?
Oh, yeah, so Section 4, Article 8, Line 7.
That's like
part
saying
B, second word,
know,
third letter.
As far as you know, that's the difference between, say, in a village and a town. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But there are. But Township. The reason we say a village is because it is a village, and the reason we call it a town is because it is a town. Those
you
are
two
not
are both
two of
full
the,
of shit.
Those, and maybe that's why we work so well together.
Right. But,
you know, we have these conversations.
But am I wrong? Am I wrong?
I don't know because
am
I don't
wrong?
Know the difference.
Yeah.
Well, what's the difference between a Republican and a democracy? Let me put this back on the other
side. I don't. But I'm not the one who comes right out and says, we're supposed to be a democracy.
We are supposed to be a republic, not a democracy.
Well, what the fuck's the difference?
I don't know.
Well,
then what does it
a republic
to you?
Well, right now.
How do you know? I don't know. Might matter a whole bunch.
Where's democracy?
Look it up.
You're
democracy is we vote. We all have a say so.
They don't
in
vote
what,
in republics?
In what, no.
I'm trying to get some YouTube comments here.
They may. Oh. Broke your pen.
You guys,
they may vote
and it's failing
for their leaders, but they don't vote for their laws. Their leaders
right?
make their laws.
Let me. Why don't we go ahead and just settle this and ask
Let's
Google?
Let's settle it.
Difference.
Ask her
between republic, public, and democracy.
What's
okay, the
say?
Key difference between a democracy and a republic lies in the limits placed on government by the law, which has implications for minority rights. Both forms of government tend to use a representational system, i.e. citizens vote to elect politicians to represent their interests
right.
and form the government.
Right.
That's not a complete
But you, we vote for our laws, we vote for everything here. That's what makes a democracy, is you vote for everything. The republic still believes in a freedom of, you get to choose who tells you what to do.
It's less government is what it is. It's less government. Democracy's
so less
more, oligarchy is way more government. Democracy's less, and then the republic's even less than that.
So basically, from what I'm reading here, the only difference is in a democracy, the minority has no protection against the power, the unlimited power of the majority.
Right.
In a republic, the little people can be watched out for. So what we're saying is, if 20% of the population feel one thing, but 80% of the population, and this is in a republic, we're going along with the 80% every time. Fuck the 20%. In a democracy, they're going to take that 20% into account.
They totally do not. Because what about the 99% to control?
I'm not saying that's the way it is. That's just what I'm saying.
That's
the difference
for the two
terms.
Fair enough.
So who knows?
All right. So let's get on to the next.
What I'm saying is, you bring up that point one more time about we're supposed to be a republic.
We're supposed to be a republic and not a democracy.
Democracy.
It's true.
I know what the fuck you're talking about.
It's true.
I'm going to call you on it every time.
It's true. Is it not true?
I don't fucking know.
See, then how can you not? What are you talking about calling me for?
You don't know what we're supposed to be.
Oh, I know what we're supposed to be.
Oh, you liar. You fucking
So, yeah, anyway,
liar.
If aliens come
liar.
Out, if our governments come out and say, yeah, aliens are real, what power do they hold?
Through the aliens or the government?
The government.
The government still holds
it will.
Power
everybody
over
will break shit. Everybody's going to flip
not
out.
Not if the aliens
I
are
sure
more powerful. Why. What if the aliens come down and give us an ultimatum? It's like, look, you can
Tell
stand with the government or you can stand with us.
As the people of the country, just sitting at your house and the government, okay, aliens show up. The government gets on, I guess, TV and says, yeah, we've known all along. And then you think that it's time to flip the fuck out?
Well, no, but it's at that point we will not look at them as higher ups.
This just sounds like a bunch of people who want any excuse to say fuck you to the government to me.
Oh, so which brings me to my next point, the Black Lives Matter
but
movement.
But hold on a second. If the government comes out and says, yeah, we have lied to you about aliens.
They lied to me about so many stuff. I'm pretty sure there's probably a good reason they're lying about aliens.
How much are you going to let them lie to you?
As much as it takes.
Yeah, how much are you going
to
let them
lie
to
you? You guys take it real personal. I realize they're going to lie to me all day, every day.
Here you go.
And accept it as, you know, what can I do about it? They're the fucking government.
Here's a good scenario. The Civil War in the United States would bring on a World War III. You know, Civil War caused by whether it be a race war, division in the races, sure, gay rights, religion,
yeah, that
social
could be bad,
class.
All you need is like a big split, like a real physical civil war going on. And then you got other countries think, man, the interest we could have if this side of the country won over that side.
Exactly, yeah, because, well, you're thinking, we're not.
That's what we do.
We're not.
That's
fair
what
enough.
We do.
That's fair.
Fair enough, yeah. But think about it. You know, what better time to overrun a superpower than when they're busy meddling amongst themselves? They can't defend themselves to 100% because they're fighting within themselves.
What?
You know, what better time for China to come over and
kick
say invade?
Hey,
kick right? both the sides' ass because they don't have no unification. They're fighting. You know what I mean?
You guys have defaulted on your loan, and now we've come for pay. I'm sorry. You guys are all in a fight, but I still need my money.
Right, yeah.
They're not wrong.
That would be the time to come get your money because there would be one side or the other going, all right, well, can you help us out with arms? And you know, the rebels, they might start, you know, countries might start arming the rebels, just kind of like you said, like America does.
What would happen,
anti-government movement in this country.
If our last civil war would have had
foreign backers?
Abroad, foreign backers.
How do you know it didn't?
Ooh, touche. I don't know. That's a pretty good question. It did it. Have they been shaping
check
things
the History
like this
Channel.
For,
I'm sure they got 12 or 13 shows that tell you how the aliens are backing fucking South
aliens
or the North or whatever. Somehow they were backing both sides.
But here's another interesting scenario: poisoning the population as a pre-invasion preparatory method.
I mean, that's from poison to poison gas, whatever method.
Yeah, and you know, fluoride in the water.
Here you go again.
That was a good one, though.
Yeah, pineal gland. We've got to get down.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Consciousness.
No, I mean, any way you can subdue a population before you try to invade is obviously a good idea. That's war.
Oh, right.
In my opinion.
Well, that's exactly what Hitler did with the fluoride. We talked about that in our
You don't hit them while they're strong.
No, hell no.
Sure. Water shortage is obviously another kicker. I mean, there's only so much potable water in the world to go around. Countries like Africa, they have a lot of trouble getting clean water. And eventually it's going to come to a head, or could come to a head, with more population and less clean water.
Now I got a neck breaker here for the ending. I got to end this with a really good question.
All right.
If you guys are good, you got any other talking points before I hit this good one?
I got a quote we can go out on.
Okay, we'll do that at the end. Okay, so I want to kind of address this, and don't take this the wrong way, because I'm proud to be an American. I love America.
Oh, here it comes. This is going to be bad.
But here's the thing. Is the United States actively trying to start World War III, knowingly or not? Okay, so that would be actively, but knowingly or not knowingly, or maybe plausible deniability. We didn't know that was going to happen.
Is there some suits behind closed doors?
Is there an agenda here that to where the, you know, because it seems like some of the stuff
officially,
we're doing.
Of course not.
Of course, officially, this is a conspiracy show. Do you think we're talking about officially here?
Good point.
Okay.
Sorry, I'll shut up.
You know what I mean? There's so much stuff that the United States does that can be questionable. That's like, man, we really shouldn't have did that. You know, we're disputing the South China Sea. You yourself said, we got no right to dispute that, right?
Yeah, I don't know.
Those islands. Okay, so what I'm saying is, the shit that we're doing isn't...
Oh, do we stick our nose in too many businesses? Sure, but
inciting
a riot? Well, you're asking...
Inciting a riot, fair enough. I mean, that's a very good point.
That's exactly
the
question.
It?
I don't think so.
Are we inciting a riot? But
because you'd have to have somebody.
Inciting a riot doesn't mean that you're saying, burn this motherfucker.
That's not what I mean.
You could be the first one to blow the building up, the first one to break the window out, and then everybody else is inciting that riot.
Okay, let me lay down this as a counterpoint.
Okay.
The person or people who have the ability to do that, they'd have to be so high up.
Yeah.
And
there's
nobody that is in the government for long enough
Illuminati.
So high up.
Sure, sure. How long was Bernie Sanders in Congress?
30-plus years.
Yeah.
That's a long time.
Yeah. Everyone in Congress. That's why they're trying so hard to get term limits in Congress. Because these people that run our country, Senator Harry Reid's almost 80 years old. He's been in Congress, almost 40 years. This guy is like... you know, pivotal in everything that happens.
Okay, but these congressmen, they only have access to certain things. Like, some of them will be part of the Benghazi thing. Some of them will be part of this country thing. My point is, the ones that, who would have the power to have global matters on every little thing, uh-huh. who could be the ones to push the initiative to start World War III, I mean, who are these people? Who would that be? You tell me who in government would that be, would be long enough to have that kind of agenda for that long and have enough
scope under their umbrella? Well, it's no one in government, because the governments are puppets compared to these people. The governments are puppets compared to the people that are actually pulling the strings.
So then to answer your question, then, is America starting it? Maybe. Is it the government specifically?
Well, when you talk about America, are you talking about the people or the government? Because I see two
different... Is there a difference?
I personally see two Americas. I see the people... And I see the government, because whenever you talk about America, whether it's foreign or not, you know, Iran, they'll preach, you know, death to America, right?
Yeah.
But if you ask them, they'll say, hey, well, you know, we don't hate you, the American. It's your government and what they're doing to us. Mm-hmm. So when death to America,
yeah, but how much of that is propaganda from their parent government, not liking our policy? You know what I mean?
And how much of what we do to them is propaganda to us, saying that downplaying our situation, downplaying the situation of what we're actually doing to the Iranian people or the Saudi or not Saudi, but or to the Iraqi people or to the Afghani people?
But for that to work,
how much of that is propaganda downplaying that to us? Our mainstream media lying to us,
right?
Because it could happen to them, just as what you're saying.
So what you're saying
is totally happen to us as well.
Would you fucking quit filibustering over top of me every time I try to say something? It seems like this whole episode
filibustering, huh?
Yeah. Like, you just keep going and going and going.
I got good points, man.
Yeah, you just kill mine off every time. Now I have no clue what I was going to say. So let's go ahead and round this one out.
Then you're going to have to get a better memory on you.
A better memory?
Yeah.
You're going to have to slow down whenever somebody starts talking about that.
I think you can get a better memory on Amazon.
Yeah, you can lick my balls. How about that?
Free shipping if you're Prime member.
Yeah.
That's true. He's got a point. All right, well, here's the quote I had that I wanted to finish the part, this part of the episode with. It's by Albert Einstein.
Uh-huh.
And he says, I know not with what weapons World War III will be fought, but World War IV will be fought with sticks and stones.
Yeah.
Fucking awesome. Einstein, huh?
Yeah, that's a scary quote.
It's deep.
Yeah, it's deep. It's implying that there's really going to be no civilizations after World War III, that it's pretty much you're going to have to...
Yep.
So. What did Sergeant Johnson say? Back in my day, we had 2 6 for the whole platoon. We had to share the rock.
Yeah. Oh, Johnson. Yeah. All right, I guess that's it for this one.
We'll be back.
All
right, episode two here shortly.
Also, remember to like us on Facebook at facebook.com/SurrealTalk. You can also find us on Twitter. We've been doing great on Twitter lately, over 700 followers, at Surreal Talk Show. You can also find a live video recording of every show on YouTube, and we do now have our YouTube URL. So youtube.com/SurrealTalk.
Podcast.
There you go.
I want to make sure that works real quick.
Yeah. So also, remember to give us a review. iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, Google Play, or whatever your podcast provider is. 5 stars would be great, but really whatever you think we deserve. If you have any questions, comments, show ideas.
You know, I'm going to throw a little caveat into that whole give us your review. If your review is going to be based on what the first 10 or so episodes of this podcast was back under the old Nick regime, don't even bother leaving a review. We're not that show anymore. Give it up.
We have a different show now. Yeah, okay. But also, you remember you can email us at info@surrealtalkpodcast.com. And always remember to like, comment, share, subscribe, whether it be YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, everything.
Yep.
Always like, always comment, always share, always subscribe. Thanks for listening. This has been Surreal Talk, a lineupmedia.fm production. Catch you on part two in about 20 minutes. Peace.
Please. Wake up.
This has been Surreal Talk, a lineupmedia.fm production. Listen online at surrealtalkpodcast.com and subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and all major podcast outlets. Join the conversation on Facebook and Twitter and get all of our podcasts now at lineupmedia.fm.
How come I know so much? What the hell is going on around here? Who are you people?
I'm mad as hell! I'm not gonna take it anymore!
Yeah.
This podcast was a presentation of lightupmedia.fm.